I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Thanks, Ken. And before we started, you were saying something about commercial property cycles?
Yes, I was. And I know you've mentioned this several times over the past year or so, but I just thought it might be worth exploring the topic a little further.
Yeah, look, I think in earlier podcasts, we probably have touched on it a couple of times, and we've basically said that there are differing lengths of cycles for offices, retail, and industrial property. The longest one being offices, and that is about 18 years from peak to peak. In other words, there's a low point or trough about 9 years through, and then it increases again till it reaches another peak in 18 years. Now, within that 18-year span, the industrial cycle will have a peak about 9 years, so that there's actually a shorter cycle, so that it has an additional peak. And then with retail, because it is more sensitive to interest rates, consumer sentiment, and things like that, actually has a six-year cycle from peak to peak. So there are three cycles of retail in the same time frame of an office cycle, because the offices, as we discussed, I think earlier, they're much larger, longer time to lead time to build, and they're more susceptible or governed by supply and demand than they are by the economy and interest rates. And the industrial one, as I said, has a peak in 9 years. So there are two cycles within that for industrial. So hopefully that gives you an overview and reminds listeners of how the sectors relate to one another.
Let's step back a little from the actual cycles for the individual sectors. Presumably, there are several stages within every cycle, regardless of which sector may be involved.
Yeah, there are. Within each sector and each cycle for each sector, there are basically four phases, and it doesn't matter which sector it is. These are the phases. There's what you call the early buying phase, the late buying phase, the early selling phase, and the late selling phase. Now, this is perhaps getting a bit technical without graphics. So what I'm probably do, Ken, is to, I'll come up with some graphics for both the sectors, the 6, 9, and 18-year ones. I think we may have supplied them before, but I'll put them up again under this podcast, so people can go to propertybriefings.com and episode 65, and there'll be that one for the sectors. But I'll also put up these graphs showing these four phases for the early late buying and the early late selling, so that again you can see how you superimpose one over the other, so that you can better gauge where you are within the cycle and what forward planning you should be undertaking.
Could you quickly explain what happens and what to look for within each of these four phases?
Okay, well, let's start with the early buying phase. And this is where you have emerged from a peak in one of the cycles. And let's perhaps stick with the office cycle for the moment. And so what has happened is there's been an overconfidence in the market's underlying strength. And because there's a lengthy lead time, there's been an oversupply. And that can happen in all sectors, but it's more likely to happen in the office sector. And what happens is that oversupply outstrips demand. And therefore, you start to find landlords cutting rents and prices so that they can move stock. I mean, the last thing you want to do, having developed a property or even own a property because your tenants moved out into one of the newer properties, is to hold it. You've got meters ticking over, you've got interest rates, all sorts of outgoing. So it's important that you get the property filled, and sometimes it's better to, you know, accept two-thirds the rent to have the property filled and at least washing its face, covering costs. And likewise with price, yes, you might have liked a higher figure, but, you know, the market's turned, therefore you need to sell the property if that was your original plan, to meet a call by the banks for, because your loan-to-value ratio has got beyond what they can live with. But you also find that generally economic confidence is waning at this point. The consumer spending, therefore, is starting to fall. And, I mean, that's evidence even now with some of the retail, that apart from the traditional seasonal sales, they seem to be happening all the time. Generally, in these sort of circumstances, unemployment starts to rise. I mean, not just in small amounts, dramatically. And what you find from an office point of view is that there's a lot of subletting going on. So even if the space is leased, those tenants, and it's mainly in the service sectors, you know, the accountants, lawyers, finance, the larger, particularly CBD spacing, whole floors may be subleased to help defray some of the costs because they may have divested themselves of staff, therefore they don't need the space. So, and even if they haven't cut back in staff, they might cut back in the allocation of space for staff and therefore look to reduce their rent bill by 20-30% by subleasing. And during or at the end of this early buying phase, that you see commercial prices will tend to reach their lowest point. And at that stage, there are lots of incentives for tenants to take space. Properties are on the market for a longer period. There's nothing necessarily wrong with the properties. It's just that everyone's sitting on their hands, banks aren't lending money, and generally the market then starts to move sideways. So that's the early buying phase. Now, for the shrewd operator, you can do very well at this point. In other words, if you find a property that has a good, solid tenant, even if everyone else is nervous, you can negotiate very good deals if you can have your finance in place. It may be coming into the before the downturn, as I think we've discussed in the last podcast when we were talking about the Irish property crash and how the idea is to be effectively debt-free coming into a downturn, so that you own the properties but you've probably sold off half your portfolio, the stuff that you know in this when the market turns is not going to be saleable. So you've gotten rid of that just before the peak of the market, and therefore you are debt-free. So from a bank's point of view, you are now the ideal customer. So even if you only borrow 50% on your existing portfolio, which is currently debt-free, and only borrow 50% on the new property, you are much better placed than anybody else in the market, because most people wait too long. They think it's going to go on forever. And so that's the ideal strategy when you realize where you are in the cycle and can arrange your affairs so that you come out of the upward trend debt-free and go into the downside and the early buying phase, when everyone else is scared witless, you are shrewdly sifting and sorting through property to find what is fundamentally good commercial real estate and with solid tenants, but because of the lack of liquidity and lack of confidence, people just overlook them or don't even bother to look for them, and you're in a position to move at that point. So then if you move into the second phase, which is the late buying phase, and this is where you start to see the desperate deals for letting are becoming more like proper commercial transactions. The rent-free periods or the rent holidays and incentives have declined. The size of those incentives has shrunk, so and prices and yields seem to have stabilized. And you even actually see some sort of improvement. It mightn't be across the board, but you're starting to see yields firming a bit on sales. The first thing is that properties sell quicker. They don't take as long. Instead of taking 90 days to 120 days to sell, they start to come back to 60 to 90 days. Some even occasionally you'll find the market looks at it and says, well, that's a good property, and it actually sells at auction or shortly after auction. Investors, both local and national, realize that it's actually a great time to buy. Now, you probably just before that will have seen overseas buyers coming in who actually are more astute. When you're immersed in the market, you tend to want to wait a little longer and get more signs that the market has actually improved. But it's the overseas ones that will lead it. But we're now saying in this late buying phase that it's the local and national buyers that realise. So, as I said, funnily enough, local landlords and investors are generally the last to recognise the recovery because they're still reliving the pain and anguish that they've gone through, or if they haven't gone through it, their friends and colleagues have. So, again, this is a great opportunity for those in the know. And, you know, professionals are expanding, you know. So you see every time a professional firm takes on a new employee, it generally adds a multiplier effect of creating three or four more jobs because they are responding to corporate needs, and it's a reflection, it's a yardstick, if you like, to the improvement in the economy. So there we have it, the early buying phase where, yes, you've got to take a deep breath, but if you do your homework and you're well prepared, you can buy extraordinarily well. And the late buying phase where, yes, the signs are visible, and if you don't move pretty quickly, you're actually going to miss out.
So that's the downward phase in the cycle. But what about when things turn upwards?
So now, as you said, we look at the early selling phase. Now, this is begins when the market is back in balance. And we talked about vacancy levels in earlier podcasts. In other words, retail vacancies are back around 4 to 6%, industrial about 5 to 7% vacancy, and office is about 6 to 8%. And that's generally called to be accepted as being in balance. So demand is improving, it starts to outstrip supply, yields are firming, the general economic confidence is starting to return, consumer spending is improving, and you start to see developers re-enter the market. Now, this is when you've got to start looking at where you're over halfway through the cycle now, and depending which sector you're in, you recognise these signs. And you've now got to start planning, as we just talked about a moment ago, your exit, so that, which may well be 4 years down the track, but you've got to start thinking about how and you're going to get out, which properties you're going to sell, so that you get into the peak of the market in a debt-free position. So then the next phase is the late selling phase, and that's probably the most risky of all phases, because investors feel good times will go on forever. You find developers over-anticipate demand. This is why an oversupply will occur. Properties start to experience some longer selling periods towards the end of the cycle. It's a transition from early to late selling phase. They're selling well, but you start to find they start taking a little longer. Prices and rents are still high, but they're taking a little longer to achieve. Demand for space will start to fall, and those long lead time for development are again beginning to create an oversupply. And so I'm just giving you so you can recognize the signs, so that it's at that transition point from early selling to late selling that you should have your ducks in a row and start to be exiting the market that you're in, so that you keep your best properties and own them debt-free. And look, if you make your exit 6, 9, 12 months too early, it doesn't matter, because you're in great shape and you can pick and choose from the struggling and desperate vendors that will be trying to sell into a falling market.
Perhaps you could just summarise, when is the ideal time to buy and the best time to sell?
Okay, as you probably gather, for smart investors, the best time to sell would be just before the market moves into the late selling phase, or just after, at that sort of transition point. I mean, you're not going to get it right down to the week, even the month, but you've got to make a judgment call based on the signs. And as I said, I'm providing you with a helicopter view that you can step back and read and interpret the news in both the television, the Financial Review, the Age, whatever newspaper it is that you're looking at, some of the economists and their comments. And we're not looking to follow the alarmists. We're talking about when the consensus is there, you can start to read the signs. And the indicators to watch for on the selling side would be things like jobs growth levelling out, huge amount of new development that's in the pipeline and that's soon to hit the market. Now, it may be that the vacancy rate hasn't ballooned out, but forward projections by firms like BizSrapnel suggest that for offices in 12, 18 months, 2 years' time, there's going to be an oversupply and vacancies are going to jump from 9% to 12%. I mean, at the moment, I mean, in Perth and Brisbane, they're up around 12, 14% now. But that was predictable 2 years ago, 3 years ago, because of the time lag from start of construction to completion. And you only have to, you know, BizSrapnel don't just apply the average demand and match it against the forthcoming supply. They look at economic circumstances and say, average demand has been such and such a level, that will taper off. But even though that's tapering off, the supply is still continuing and large amounts will come on stream. So if we look at the ideal time to buy, it's just before the market transitions from early buying phase to late buying phase. And the indicators to watch would be, again, unemployment levelling out, prices and rental decline stabilising, and things like the incentives being offered to tenants to take up new space coming back to something that's quite realistic, instead of, you know, having 6 months rent-free on a five-year lease, it might come back to a couple of months rent-free. I mean, there'll always be some rent-free because, I mean, you want your tenant to set up. You know, moving office or moving industrial space is an expensive exercise. I mean, you've got to just new letterhead and telephones and rewiring for equipment and partitioning. I mean, it's big money. So generally there will be some incentive provided because you want your tenant to hit the ground running. You don't want them to have a meter ticking over and rent from day one and they're struggling to get set up, new staff, just a move. Sometimes you've got to staff leave because it's inconvenient, so you've got to replace stuff. So there's a whole lot of disruption going on to the business. So there will always be some incentive, but it's the ridiculous incentives that start to disappear. And so that happens in that transition from the early buying to late buying phase. And once the transition becomes obvious, then everyone jumps back into the market. Your competition and prices rise. And what that will then mean is if you wait too long, that you end up paying more than you need to.
Now I'm clear, and hopefully our listeners are too. So thanks for that.
Again, Ken, it's been my pleasure.